Blog Talk Radio.
Well, hello, and welcome to the International Black Summit radio show. Today, the show is going to be about reminiscing and some of the history of the International Black Summit, and we're going to have a few guests that was around during the beginning, and they're going to share with us how it was, what they've seen so far. You know, our team leader suggested that we have this be like sitting around a living room, sitting in a living room just chatting. So I just want to invite you all to, like, be here listening that way, as well as, you know, share from that standpoint. Like, you know, we're sitting around the table. We got some, you know, some cake, some coffee. We're just relaxing. Okay?
Okay.
All right, so on the show with me so far is Catherine and Bill Jordan. So, Catherine, why don't we just start with you? Just take a moment to introduce yourself, because some of the people may not know of you.
Well, I'm Catherine. I don't know how much you want me to tell people. I live in Atlanta. I'm originally from Tallulah and Monroe, Louisiana, and I've been participating with the International Black Summit since its beginning, and I think that's enough for now. I think that's people know a little bit about me.
Okay. And I hear the program in the background.
Yeah.
Is that on your computer?
No, that was on my computer, John.
Okay, that's on your computer. Can you put it on mute so we won't get a reverb?
I turned it off.
Okay, good. All right, and so that my computer, who's that speaking?
Bill Jordan.
Bill Jordan.
Well, I don't know about the early days of the Black Summit. I'm Bill Jordan. I got a little bit involved because of my daughter's involvement, and I've enjoyed the times that I've been able to participate in the conversation.
Wonderful. And so, when was the first summit? You know, would you share a little bit, Catherine, about how it came about, how it got started?
Well, I'll tell you a little bit about it in terms of my memory.
Okay.
You know, there were a lot of people, several people who were there in the beginning, and I'm sure we all have our particular twist on it. But from my recollection and my experience of my own participation was that in the beginning there were a group of us who did a course through an organization called Landmark Education. And the name of that course at that time was called Productivity, Service, and Well-Being. And at the end of the course, they had something that they traditionally did was to have a dinner to celebrate the completion. And at the completion of that dinner, there were two women there who had done the course who were, you know, sharing over dinner, and they were sharing what they had gotten out of the course, and they began to share with all of us at dinner, and they initiated a conversation for sharing the results or the possibilities that were created out of that course with the larger Black community.
Mm-hmm. And who were those?
Those women were Pat Reed Porter and Aloma Marquis.
Okay.
And what I remember is, you know, they just kind of went around the table. Are you interested? Would you like to be on a conference call so we could talk about this a little bit more? Because that was the end of our meeting together.
Mm-hmm.
And so I personally said yes, and the other people, Black people who were in attendance there, said yes, and we then created a conference call and start to get a sense of, you know, what they were thinking about, and to get input, you know, from the other people, You know, by the time that conference call was held, the word had gotten out to other people, you know, in the world.
Uh-huh.
You know, some people had called the Anthony and Robin and Perry in L.A. and people in Chicago. I remember, I can't think of their names, Joe and Carla Hampton told us about people in Chicago. They told us about a program that Brenda and Eddie Gill were involved in, and we just began to create people and invite other people to be on the call.
Mm-hmm. And what year was this?
This was at the end of 1990 that we participated in that course, and then in the new year, we started to have the conference calls, and then the conference calls got too large to really, you know, facilitate a good conversation. So we said, you know what, let's all get together and meet somewhere. And we aligned on meeting in Chicago.
Okay.
And that was our first meeting where we, you know, saw each other, talked to each other, and began to put some structure around the conversation.
Okay, good. Just put a marker there real quick. I want to bring someone else on.
Caller
at 708-331.
What's the rest of it?
Well, I don't want to give out their phone number.
8540.
Is that what it is?
That's what it is.
That's me.
I know.
Who's that talking now?
This is John Thomas. Who's
this? I don't know you, John. I'm Brenda Gill. I think that was, who was that talking? Was that Catherine?
Yes, Catherine.
Okay. So, like I said, it's been a long time for me. And everything you said, I can concur with that. I wasn't there when it originally was spoken.
Uh-huh.
I was just one of those people, like Eddie and I and the rest of us and Carla, in Chicago, that we were in our own conversation, many conversations we had had. And it was pretty much, I think, the project to end global racism and oppression. And that was really big. In fact, it's so big that it's showing up now in the world. Like, oh, my God, how could it be so big?
Wow.
So we were told by the forum leaders there that it was too big. It was too big. And we didn't have any idea. Now we see why it's too big. It's a chaos out here. Chaos. What has been revealed. Well, anyway, so we latched hold to being African-Americans, a conversation that maybe would empower us, because I think I was ready to be culture diversified or be in the other conversation, but there wasn't enough support for that.
I got you. All right. Well, let's go back to Catherine.
Okay.
And then we'll continue from there. So go ahead, Kat.
Well, after we met in Chicago, we still were not clear exactly what the purpose of the International Black Summit would be, but we had enough alignment to say, you know, we are up to something. We know something is calling us to be. And so we created a structure in which we could have a meeting here in Atlanta that we could bring more black people who had a commitment to the black community, bring them together, have a conversation, and see what we would create out of that. And so in October of 1991, we had what we would call the official first International Black Summit.
Okay.
And it was just a tremendous feat. I mean, it was beyond anything that I, and I'm only speaking for myself, could have imagined. We had approximately, and this is not the, I would say not the accurate number, but approximately 120 people there. And during that whole event, what came out of it was people speaking their vision for the black community and the world. And at the end of that meeting, what was created is what is now known as the Declaration of the International Black Summit. And the Declaration holds all the commitments of the people who were present at that first summit. So whenever I, you know, read the Declaration, I am present to those people, you know. I can begin to see faces again.
Wow.
You know, because I know when I read it, I know I'm not just speaking of my vision, but I'm speaking of the vision of all those people who were there. So that for me was, that's my experience.
And you wouldn't happen to have the Declaration in front of you, would you?
No, I don't.
But you know it.
But, you know, I think you don't have it in front of you.
I have it. Can you
would
hear
you,
me? No.
Yeah, would you mind reading it, Brenda?
I got to go get it. It's in my wallet. Hold on. Keep talking.
No,
I'll get
problem.
It.
Here it is right here.
You got it?
I
keep
it. Have
it. Never, never not had it. Yeah.
I have it, John.
Okay.
Okay.
Would you like for me to read it? Is that?
I would.
Okay. And... Just for those who are listening, I'm going to be reading the Declaration of the International Black Summit, and I invite you, as you listen, to listen for yourself and for listen to where you hear your commitment in this declaration. And also for those of you who are listening, at the end of my reading it, I would like at least a 1 minute of silence, John.
Okay.
That's so that we can be fully in the presence of this declaration. Here we go. Declaration of the International Black Summit. We declare ourselves, our community, and all communities whole and complete. There is nothing to do except be. We assert that we are responsible for generating community as possibility and distinction. We listen for and grant being to the possibility and creation of unpredictable results. Our conversation of, about, and for those of African descent is one of power, self-generation, abundance, responsibility, unity, and integrity with the possibility of being. We stand for the expression of our spirituality, ending the murders of our men, women, and children, building economies responsible for funding our community, maintaining wellness of being in our bodies, providing human services, establishing nurturing relationships, altering the conversation of who we are in the media, empowering our youth. We declare that our community manifests itself in the world as a contribution in the transformation of the universe. Atlanta, Georgia, October 7th, 1991. A moment of silence, please. Thank you.
And thank you.
Yeah.
And so as you read that, you had said before, you start to get present to the people and their faces and the conversations, I imagine, that led up to what got articulated.
Yes.
So what are you present to now?
Well, you know, I'm seeing Pam Scott Johnson, one of the people who participating in writing this. I'm seeing Olubide. I'm seeing Jennifer and her son who participated. You know, I'm just seeing the faces. I'm seeing the guy, I can't remember his name, from Arkansas, and I'm seeing the people from Atlanta, New Orleans, the person who was here from Trinidad. I'm seeing Martin. I'm seeing Brenda, Eddie. I'm seeing the facilitators. You know, I'm just present to all these wonderful people.
Wow.
You know, who were just committed to making a difference. You know, we were novice in this, in, you know, generating an international movement. You know, we were novices, and we came together, and it was with our togetherness that we've been able to produce the results that we have produced in the world today. And it's something that I know I'm proud of, and I'm sure that all people who participate in the International Black Summit are proud of.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So Brenda, what was your experience during that time?
Well, it was on the edge. We were on the edge, as people tell me all the time. And whenever I'm on the edge, I know that there's going to be a birth. It's going to be something really wonderful. I thought the whole experience was unbelievable. It was unbelievable. The people were unbelievable. It was just great. And I think what occurred for me is that it was so great that I didn't think I ever wanted to do it again, because it would never be that great anymore. I mean, really, I'm kind of like that. Once I do it once and it's great, I want to go away because I can't do it anymore, or it can't be done that well. But, you know, like I said, I have it in my purse, the wallet, and I realize that you don't have to be in the summit to experience and live the summit and refer to it in your everyday life. And that was what it was for me. It wasn't an organization. It was people really living that in their lives.
Wow.
And empowering other people. So for me, it's kind of disappointing me that it doesn't show up in the world as much as I think I wanted it to. When I hear all that, it makes me a little sad. Because I said, where is the difference that we really made? So I don't know, I'm in the question mark.
That's actually a very good question, and I want to come back to that, because I think life has something for you in response to that question. But before we get there, I just want to get a sense of, you know, if you could paint a picture of the room, you know, either one of you can answer it. What would it look like? You know, were there people in front of the room? How were people sitting? Just try to get a sense of how this all came about at the Atlanta at First Summit.
What it looked like?
Yeah, just what it looked like.
Well, there were, at that time, four facilitators who were. We had a platform stage, and it was, first of all, at the the Marriott Marquis in Atlanta, Georgia.
Mm-hmm.
And we were in a large ballroom, and the chairs were set up theater style, and the room was full. You know, that was my experience. I felt like it was a big ballroom, and the room was full.
Mm-hmm.
And there were four people at that time facilitating. There were four facilitators, myself, Jay Kenneth wasn't there. That's not correct. It was myself, Robin Randolph, Perry Parks, and Anthony Randolph.
Okay.
Those were the four original facilitators. So that's kind of like a sense of it. It was a very nice hotel. The people at the hotel were very gracious to us. Brenda actually is the person who coordinated us being at the Marriott Marquis. She did an exceptional job. It was just a very exquisite event. Very exquisite event.
Wow.
And people were very alive. I want you to know they were very alive. And verbal and communicative and it was like dancing. It was just full of energy.
Mm-hmm.
Just full of energy.
Wow. Hold on, someone else just called in. Caller at 919-544. You're on the air. Who's this?
Hello, John. This is Brenda Howerton.
Hey, Brenda Howerton.
Catherine.
Hi, Brenda. Wow, it's one of people.
Hello, love. Hello.
Hello. I hear your voice.
Yes, yes, and yours. When I read the website and saw that you and a couple of the other people that the originators were going to be on. I said,
"Where's my food?
I got a call. I got a call." Wow. Wow. This has been it's been a long time.
Yes, it has.
And as I called in and heard you read that statement that we, that declaration that we created, and I can't even believe that it's been that long.
Mm-hmm. 1991?
Yes. Wow. Yes, 1991. Ah, it was an awesome, awesome time that we were in that room. And such committed people that I don't think I've ever experienced anything that has been that was as profound as that meeting. And people committed to the lives of our children, the lives of our communities. And as Brenda said a few minutes ago, there is some sadness for me, too, that we haven't been able to generate that to the extent that I would like to see it generated. So, for me, there's still work to be done.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it ain't over.
No, it's not.
It ain't over.
You know, you could consider it a great start.
Yeah.
A fabulous start. Yeah. All right, well, you going to stay on the line for a little while?
Yes.
All right, good. So now, you guys, you had the meeting. It was profound. People were communicative. They were alive. They were verbal. You know, lives were shifted. People, I imagine, left out of there totally inspired. And so then what happened?
Well, we on that Sunday, we aligned on having our next summit. And our next summit was scheduled for Highland Park, Michigan. And so what we did, we created a set of meetings which we would participate in order to make sure that that came to be.
Mm-hmm. And so the next one was in Highland Park.
Highland Park, Michigan. And one of the things that became evident at the first summit was that there was in that summit a main theme that was present in the summit. In addition to people sharing their commitment, people also engaged in the inquiry of what is it to be black. And that was a very profound conversation, because one of the things that we say is that we are black people, and we come from all walks of life, all different experiences, and we have different takes on life. And what we saw in that first summit is that we even had a different take on what we call ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And
for example.
Well, for example, some people did not want to be called black. They wanted to be called African American. Some people
yep.
didn't want to be called African Americans. They wanted to be Trinidadians. You know? And what we saw, what really occurred in that meeting was that, yeah, we can call ourselves whatever we call ourselves, but there was a place. There was a place in our hearts and our spirituality where we were in alignment as one. And in fact, at the end of that summit, we were called the International Blank Summit.
Blank Summit?
Blank. There was no black. That came later. We had to inquire into that for a minute.
Wow.
Yeah. It was great. And we had such room for life to be what it was in the moment. Like, that's what it was.
Wow.
You know? And so anyway, we engaged in that and engaged in that. And to tell you the truth, I don't remember when we aligned on it being the International Black Summit. Somebody else will have to bring their memory to that.
I do remember one thing of that we, I don't know whether it was an exercise or there was just a moment or two where we had all the men, the women circle the men, where we appreciated the men. And that was an awesome experience where the men were in the middle of all the women.
Oh, that was Summit 2.
Was that Summit 2?
That was Summit 2.
Okay.
Island Park. Yes. You are right on.
Okay.
You're right on. That was Summit 2.
Okay. They get them confused there.
I know.
They kind of fold together.
Well, no, because I remember that one too. And I remember Robin used to always talk about how spiritual that whole, exercise was for her. So that's why I remember it specifically being in Highland Park, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
You know, for me, with one, it's coming back, Catherine. I will never forget when the people who produced the summit, we all came on stage, and I had to, and I introduced every one of the team. And it was a moment in which I felt we were all one. And people were crying. People were, it was like holy water up in there. It was, and for me, when that relationship is so profound in which people feel, when they're feeling it, and one of the things about doing the work in the network is that I never really touched on the feeling part, and that was a real missing for me. Because there was so much feeling that I had to experience. And those moments in which I was connected to those African-American people really brought me to a place that I knew was possible for all of us to feel that, to feel it, that unity and oneness that we are.
Wow.
And, of course, those moments come and go because the ego shows up.
Yes.
But that's what I the feeling that it was it just felt so good. That's what I liked about it. And the other ones never felt that good to me. Never felt, and I think I was looking for the feeling good part.
So this is Patricia Reed Porter on the phone.
Hi, Patty.
Hello. I said something a couple of minutes ago, but I was so intrigued with the speaker.
Oh, welcome.
And there's some background noise from outside. So
how are you, Pat?
I'm doing great. Just blessed. Thank you.
Wonderful. I see there are a number of people who are trying to dial in maybe to ask a question or two. Bill, do you have anything you want to say?
Not at this point. I'm just enjoying listening.
Okay, good. would you do me a favor and...
And hang up?
Yes, and just listen on your computer.
Okay.
All right, thank you so much. All right, Pat, so since you've just joined us, what would you like to add here?
It was just an honor to be on the phone as one of the original founders of the International Black Summit, and it has really touched my heart, and I've been inspired. And just, I just want to publicly thank Catherine because, Aloma and I worked directly with Catherine to get it organized, and Catherine was, all right, you all, you do the work, and she really trained us. So just thank you, Catherine, for all that you meant to the summit and to us and everything you did for the Highland Park, Detroit area.
Oh, you're most welcome, and thank you for giving me 18 years of bliss.
Wow.
Wow.
So thank you for that.
Wow.
And you know, people ask me, why did you first participate? And the truth is, I participated initially. My participation was based on my relationship with Pat.
Mm.
We had worked together in the past. We had Julia Workshop and affinity for her, and I had an affinity for who she is. And she asked me, and I said, okay.
Sorry about that. I'm outside, and it was a slight accident.
My love for the work grew, you know, because I don't think any of us knew what we were creating.
Mm.
In the beginning, it, you know, it opened up, and we found ourselves in this wonderful clearing. And so I am most thankful to the Creator.
And you know what? I have to. Something just came to me, Pat, and I guess I've been with this for a while, and I guess what comes to me is when I remember you and the Detroit representatives from. And when you all, what was that other lady's name? I can't think of her name.
Barbara Reed.
And Barbara Reed were the worst women to work with that I have ever experienced in my life. And every time I hear about you all being the founder, I say, well, I'm glad you all didn't have to organize the first one. You all gave me the hardest
time. Well, we were there with organizing the first
one. Let me tell you, you got to be with this, honey. I don't care what you think. This is what came up for me.
Okay.
I know how it is to be the founder going for 18 years. But really, for me, you know, you all were tough. And I just put that in the perspective of everybody there. And I remember my forum leader, no, not my forum leader, the center manager telling me, Brenda, you're wrong about everything. You're holding that space. And no matter who does anything to you or what you do to them, you hold that space because it's not going to get done without you. So with that regards on the real side for me, I really got that there was really not that big of affinity for you and Barbara that I had. And maybe in that conversation it was necessary for Detroit that had that conversation, maybe a little bit more than the rest of us did in other parts of the country, to bring it forth. And I kept looking at that as birth pains. These are the ones that are supposed to have us get who we really are. And that's how I held it later. And I said, there's always a reason why people pick their conversations. They probably have more to benefit than anybody else. And then, of course, you know, Detroit was incredible. You were all incredible. But I just wanted to tell you that I just really, after all these years, said, oh, my God.
And we just rocked your world, huh?
I don't know what you did. I never experienced nothing like that. You all would not let me go. And it wasn't me personally. You all were tough, but you all made it happen. I swear to God, if we hadn't all been there together, Detroit, and then I used to always go back to when I was in trouble. I was in trouble all the time. And I remember Catherine. She was a seminar leader. So Catherine would tell Brenda, you got to love more. You got to open your heart more. And I said, oh, God, let her be the heart person. I'll be the other person. So without Catherine being there, being the love space, I mean, I would have said, screw all of you and moving right along. And when we were in the room, for instance, I don't know what you all were saying up there. I was just in tune to the energy in that room and to provide what was missing.
And now, you were referring to the one in Howard
the
Park?
First one, no, the first one. That we're,
in Atlanta?
The Yeah, the first one that we had, you know, that's when I had some responsibility in it.
Yeah.
And it was like my baby wasn't gone yet. So after that, I didn't really have any responsibility in any of them. That was, you know, just being a member. But it was so funny because I just felt the energy, the energy, the energy, nothing else. I don't care what you all said up there. I could just feel it, that vibration. So really it was all about feelings for me, to tell you the truth.
Wow.
It was really about feelings.
But both of us in the from Detroit are passionate, and there's no doubt. When we're passionate,
there it is.
You get the passion.
You got
you know, we came up under Coleman Young.
Uh-huh.
Coleman Young was the first black mayor here in Detroit.
Uh-huh.
And he taught us that we didn't have to knuckle under to anybody.
Mm-hmm.
That as black people, we were powerful and strong within our own rights, we had something to say, and all we need to do is say it. So, you know, that was true for all of us who came up under Coleman Young's era.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
And we were committed. You know, when I spoke the summit with Loma, it was all about what did it take to heal black people and black families, what would it take for black men and black women to come together, unite, and actually take their rightful place in this country and in the world? If you look at black history, all the major inventions, everything we did, but we never got credit for it. For me, it was time for black men and black women to unite, to come together, to stop all this dumb mess, as we say it, and really create a world that works for everyone. And that was a possibility that I saw. Okay, so that was what was available.
Wow.
And that was all I could see. That was what I stood for. When I met Aloma, and I was, I just got married to my husband, and Loma was going through a divorce, and I was afraid because I had just gotten married and sworn I would never get married in life.
Mm-hmm.
And Loma going through a divorce, I was committed that my marriage was going to work. No, I'm a psychologist by profession. And knowing that all that I knew as a psychologist, I didn't know what to do or how to manage my own conversation that I could actually have it work. So inside of that, you know, Aloma offered me the opportunity. We got talking, and Catherine was a powerful listening for us. And that's why I'm so grateful to Catherine for everything she provided. She was not only a leader with the summit, she was just a powerful leader for us, period, as a black woman, a powerful black woman, who knew how to say what needed to be said and was not willing to give away her power to train all of us where to stand, how to stand, and how to get the message across.
Wow. That is absolutely
Thank you.
You're more than welcome. Absolutely. And I'm still married. They would take it best. I would not stay married. I have a wonderful husband. If it wasn't for the summit and my other experiences, you know, I don't know where I would be now.
You know what, Pat? One of the things, another thing about you that's an incompletion for me, I don't think you ever, ever said thank you for everybody that was on that team. Like, we delivered your baby, your vision. I never remember getting personally from you, thank you, Brenda. Never.
Mm.
And so, I think that, and that's weird to me.
So, Brenda.
Yeah.
Do you
so
have
let me
request?
Acknowledge Brenda.
Okay, let her do what she needs. I think she needs
let,
to do this.
Let me acknowledge Brenda. So,
go
Brenda,
yeah.
First of all, I want to acknowledge you for your heartfelt work that you put in. I want to thank you for all that you provided, not only to Aloma and myself, but to the blacks around the world, those of black African descent. Because without the original team standing up and carrying the torch for us and leading us, the summit would not be where it is now. I want to apologize for your not getting our appreciation and for myself personally not acknowledging you publicly. You get that?
That's
and,
what
you know,
listen for me, and I want you to, and I want to say thank you for that. That's your personal was a missing for me. So I appreciate that. Not that I needed it all these years, but I really appreciate that. That's what was missing for me.
I just want to also acknowledge you for being the strong woman that you are, to ask for what is needed and missing. See, so often we get upset and get angry at people because we're not acknowledged, we're not appreciated, and we don't know how to ask for what's missing. And just thank you for what it took for you to do that, who you are, and for being an example for everyone on the radio show. If there's something missing in your life, just ask for it. If there's something, we have a distinction called thoughtlessness, which is it's thoughtless. It's not intentional. It's not malicious. It's just thoughtless. And that was one of the main distinctions of the Black Summit. So
and
thank you for
that.
I
guess
that.
I kind of got it, except life took me into another place. I really got it. And I think what you're saying is to speak up, to express your blackness without being afraid that someone will say, oh, they're too black over there. You know how niggas are, et cetera, et cetera. So from that, I guess you had me get that again. So it was appropriate that you and I had this conversation. So thank you for that.
You're more than welcome.
I love it.
Hmm.
There are no mistakes.
Exactly.
Okay.
All righty.
So I'm kind of doing it linear, but not quite linear. so after Highland Park, I understand that the summit started to happen every year someplace in the world. So without, like, going into any of the, you know, details about the event, what were some of those places?
Well, in 1993, we were in, well, you got that in 92, we were in Highland Park, Michigan, right?
Right.
Then in 1993, we were in Oakland, California. And then we, 1994, New Orleans, Louisiana.
That was my first summit. Yay.
That was your first summit. All right. So people, as you're listening, think about when your first summit was. 1995, New York City. And 1996 was Nairobi, Kenya. 1997, Johannesburg, South Africa.
That was my first summit.
Who is that?
Catherine Thomas.
Oh, hey, girl.
Hey.
All right. And then in 1998, we were back in Atlanta. 1999, we went to Jamaica, West Indies. 2000, we were in Philadelphia. Then 2001, Memphis. 2002, Toronto. Hey, 2003, Salvador de Bahia, Brazil.
Wow. Hmm.
2004, Elmina, Ghana. Where were we in 2005?
Highland Park.
Highland Park.
Where were we in 2006?
I was in Chicago. Where were you?
That's right. I was in Miami,
Darling.
Florida. And then that was our first time holding annual event in three places, because we had another place in Jamaica.
Right.
We had three locations that year. And 2007, where were we, folks?
New Orleans.
New Orleans, darling.
Our second time in New Orleans. So that's it. And now, next year we're going where, John?
We are going to, you had to ask.
What's that place over there?
Oh, man, it just slipped my mind. Real nice. Anguilla.
Anguilla.
Anguilla. And then the year after that is London.
Wow. Hey. We're just all over the globe here. I love it, love it.
All over the globe. So if you just look back, we have about 15 minutes to go. If you were just to look back, what would you say are some of the highlights for you? This is open to anyone. In your participation. It could have been at a summit. It could have been at one of the planning meetings. You know, how has it impacted your life? And, you know, what would you want to share about the International Black Summit?
You know, John, this is Brenda Howerton. The last one that I attended was in San Francisco.
Right.
And that conversation that evolved there was a very, very tough conversation and was really hard for me to be with. The conversation that I'm talking about was that there was nothing to do except be. And it was a time for me that being didn't make any sense, when our children were being shot and killed. That was, and I found myself really just angry during the conversation when there's nothing to do except be. Be, you know, it was for me, it was, there's some doing that need to be done here, and being just not working. It took a lot of the facilitators being with me for me to get that conversation that there was something really profound for me to get in the being conversation, and there was still some doing for us to do.
Yeah.
But I still remember that conversation so vivid because I was one of those people that had lost a child during that time, and it was to say there was nothing to do except be was like, what do you mean just be? I need to do something. So I remember that one. That just kind of stands out for me.
That's really great, Brenda, because it was inside of that whole conversation that you're talking about that we created the question for us to engage in for a year. So from that summit, the question that we engaged in was, who or what must I be in order to transform the black community and the world?
Right.
So it was out of your engagement, that engagement, that we saw that was something for all of us to engage in.
Mm.
And when I look at the questions over the years, it took us from 1993 to 1996 to really get some our hands around that question, because it was in 1996 in Nairobi, Kenya, where we left with, what is it to just be?
Mm.
What is that really to just be? So, you know, our work is about inquiry and really engaging ourselves and looking within and seeing who must we be within ourselves in order to transform ourselves as well as to transform the world. So that was some great work.
Yeah.
You know, thanks for your participation in that conversation.
Mm.
Wonderful.
Thank you.
I just want to add in before the next person talks that Jackie Jones said hello from New York.
Right.
We also have a live chat going on, which Lenar is managing, also known as Danita Bragg. And she wanted to add that one of the things for her was folks coming from other countries.
Yeah.
I guess the real aspect of the internationalists. If that's a word.
Yes.
All right, who's next?
For me, those of you who were facilitating when I came and through the years have really given me back my life. This is Catherine Thomas.
Catherine Thomas.
You have really caused me to grow, and I'm a senior citizen.
Mm.
Wow.
Mm.
That's amazing.
That's the other wonderful thing, is that we have people from all ages who participate and make a difference in this conversation. And Catherine, you have been a real stand for presencing spirituality in our conversation. And you are that.
Who is that?
This is Catherine.
That's Catherine.
Other Catherine.
Okay, Catherine.
And you make me think of Julia.
Oh, yes.
Oh, gosh. And what's the other guy there in
Wentworth?
Wentworth. Yes. Great people. The thing that I'm also present to for some reason in this moment are those people who have made their transition, who, you know, really contributed to this conversation. you know, I don't want to start naming because I may miss a name, but I do want to bring them present, because one of the key conversations that we have in the International Black Summit is reverence for the people who have gone on, for our ancestors. So I give honor to our ancestors in this moment. I am present to our ancestors.
Thank you for that, Catherine.
Yeah. You know, John, I could just think, all of them were just, was just a huge impact. The Oakland Summit was the summit where, you know, expansion really began to take place. That was the summit where we opened the facilitator body up so that, you know, those people who wanted to be trained to become facilitators could do that, could say that that's something that they wanted to do. And from that point on, we created a structure. So that's why we have, you know, a large facilitator body now. So
right.
That happened out of the Oakland, California summit.
Great. Anyone else?
Well, for me, it's always Carla Pritchett, as I call her. She was Hampton then, and I don't know. But to me, Carla, she was always in my life for some reason. I don't know why, like many other people. But she was always giving things to me in this conversation. And even when I personally needed her, she was a friend. I didn't treat her that well, but you know, I think it was both of us during that period of time, so I don't take the blame for anything. I just know that when people are friends, sometimes things happen, and we resolve that. And later on, I didn't see Carl anymore. I didn't communicate with her, not out of, you know, nothing like she was a friend. You know, people go their different ways. And then she died, and I was very saddened about that.
Wow.
And I always want to ask the question, why didn't she get help before it happened? Why wasn't it not revealed to her? And I don't know, because after that it's over with. But one of the things that shows up for me all the time in the African community, which we stood for, was wholeness, health. And the African-American community is dying because of our irresponsibility in regards to our health and because of being racism conversation. So, you know, for me, there's just so much to really focus on, our well-being as people that live in the community and why we die of things quicker than other people do. We don't survive as well.
Wow.
So to me, I'm getting older. That's what it is, middle age. And so you start thinking about that stuff. But really, I think the quality of our lives as people, it just sucks.
So what do you see for the future for yourself as it relates to that conversation?
Well, I'm in my conversations about that with people that already see that. They're not necessarily black. So I go wherever I need to go for that possibility. So for African Americans to see that, they have to start defining what is health. Is there a distinction in feelings? Feelings mean when I feel bad, I go eat a lot of sugar. We're diabetics. When I feel good, do I go have sex a lot? There's so much in children. You know, who are we in relationship to our families? Babies, mama, three or four of them. Instead of where's the male in jail? And I'm not saying the majority of African-Americans, but it's a lot of them. So for me, from that day back to now, I'm listening for someone to quote the Black Summit. The International Black Summit is doing this or doing that. And one of the things about me is that I'm an action-oriented person in my community. I am really, when things have to be done, they get done. And that's where the energy has to come from me. So I think we should need to really take a look at what is integrity, what is wholeness,
What is being responsible for our bodies, our health? What's all of that, our minds? What do we do to focus that? Do we just come for a meeting every year and feel good? No, we got to do better than that. So there it is for me. And it's always been that for me. Always been that.
The thing that I want to say as it relates to Carla and and to you about Carla, because I was there through her sickness. And the thing that was very clear to me that she had an illness and she was healthy. And that's kind of like a, you know, like for the back of the hand. But I'm clear that both were true. And I'm also clear that when she left, she chose to leave.
Amen.
And,
Amen. And you know what? I know what she died of. And I just know that that's a disease that's very, very hard to detect. Very hard. One of the worst cancers to be able to detect. And one of the things that occurs, cancer occurs for everybody in this culture, but African-American breast cancer, they die more so than white people. Why? I don't know. There's a lot of reasons why. So for me, it's like I've had an experience already with a higher power during a time in which I needed that, and it transcended conversation. In fact, I know what it is to be alive and still have that conversation with God or whatever it was. And so we all, as far as I'm concerned, I've had people die around me, people live, relatives. It's just life. But at the same time, there's honor in death. But at the same time, there's something about life, too.
And we all get to choose. We all get to choose.
Well, I guess in my experience that I had, there was an opportunity, and it came up, choose, Brenda.
Exactly. And thank you for saying that.
And I chose life.
Great. And Brenda, this is Danita Lenar.
Okay.
I call myself now. You know, you're Chicago. I'm right here with you.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. That everyone, we all get to choose.
Exactly.
And sometimes, for whatever reason, those that we love choose to transition, to move on. They choose death, as we call it. And that's just part of the journey.
Yeah.
And we're all doing that every day. Until I figure out how to ascend, how to have that work, I'm doing it too. You know? So.
But there's something that's still missing that.
Well,
and I don't know if it's really true or not. I just know that there's a lot of people that aren't conscious that they're choosing.
Absolutely. And that's where, you know, the work of the summit, that's where our conversation is. That's why we are here on this Blog Talk radio show today talking about the history of the International Black Summit, getting the information out. This, you know, is our, the radio show team's idea of a way to expand the conversation of the summit in a fun and informative way.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's getting out there. And, you know, what you were saying about what are we doing at the summit this year, you know, one thing we said over the years is that the summit doesn't do projects. Not as a group necessarily, but in our individual lives, we have projects up the wazoo and out the yin-yang.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there was Al Thiel who was knitting those feet of color, the booties, and she was selling them, and she was knitting scarves, and she was taking that money and sending it to the AIDS victims, the AIDS, you know, who hurt people who had AIDS in Africa. Okay? I was teaching in the school. And I was taking what I had to the teachers and to the students. Catherine Copper there is working with students. And I know, because I know Catherine, that people she comes into contact with are getting the benefit of the summit. And the declaration is there, and the purpose is there. So I just want you to know, you know, on one of our future shows, we'll be talking about, you know, the projects that people have taken on in their lives. The summit works at the summit in New Orleans. People came 3 days before and 3 days after to help the cleaning and the gutting and the replanting and the rebuilding of New Orleans. So it's happening. I just want that to be known. It is happening.
And it's important that it be known.
Thank you for sharing that, Lenar. I just want to let you guys know we have just a few seconds left on the show, of which we're going to be on the air. So I want to thank you for participating. Thank you for sharing. And we can continue on, but we are now off the air.
Thank you.
Okay.
Thank
you. Bye-bye.
And for everybody who's on the call, hey, it's just great to hear your voices.
Great to hear yours.
Good to hear yours, Catherine.
Yes, I'll talk to you all later. This is Patricia.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
You guys want to do this again sometime in the future?
Yes, we do.
Okay, good.
As the radio show team, I'm saying yes, we do.
Yes,
yes, we are.
Yes, we do.
Yes.
Great.
Yeah.
And listen, send this the website link address to everybody you know. Let's have this go viral. You know how the youth do it. You put it in an email, send the link, and send it to your whole entire email list. Listen, if Tyler Perry, if it worked for him and his movies, it can work for us in the summit.
Oh, great.
Very
great.
All
right, girl.
So I will put the email together and with the link in there and just tell everybody to download it, go to the website, click on it, listen to it. Let's get it out there.
Yes, ma'am.
All right. And thank you. Thank you.
All right.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Lenar.
Okay.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Take care.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Happy Thanksgiving.
Yes.
Bye-bye.